February the 10th. It is Monday, first day of the week, first day of a shortened week. We have 10 games. We have a lot of injuries to talk about. It's going to be some repercussions, I think, with a couple of these at least. Let's get into everything. This is the Monday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, anywhere and everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. We have 10 games. Let's get straight into them. First game of the night, the Spurs head to Washington. Look, they get the win, 131-21. I won't say it was convincing, but a win's a win at this point for the Spurs. Let's start at the top. Devin Vassell, not very good tonight. 7 points, 2 of 9 shooting. Hold him, maybe a small buy low, 31 minutes, still just an off night. Harrison Barnes, 12 points. We shouldn't really be holding him at this point. Wemby, he's always very good. Don't need to talk about him. Or De'Aaron Fox, who had a 30-point game for the Spurs. But let's talk about Chris Paul and Stephon Castle. Both of these lines are probably worth holding. Chris Paul had 8 and 9 with 2 steals in 33 minutes. Steph Castle had 16 points, 3 steals in 20 minutes. So the concern here is, well, A, they were playing Washington. B, 20 minutes for Steph Castle is not enough. He was good here, but again, Washington. He's probably a hold. We still don't really have a good read on what they want to do consistently here. Steph Castle's minutes have been all over the place, as have Chris Paul's. So I would just hold both for now. Jeremy Sochan, much like Castle, good production, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, but only 21 minutes. Not enough, I don't think. Also a hold. Yeah, I would just hold where you can. It's really hard to know what they're doing here. For Washington, Keyshawn George returned. Yeah, I mean, this is fine. 11 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. This is more in line what I think we will get from him. Borderline double-digit scoring, 1 to 2 defensive stats. He's a decent rebounder. He's not going to be that top 50 player, more like top 100. So he's fine to add. Much like Bob Carrington, who had 10 and 5 in his 28 minutes. I don't think either are must-roster players, but probably should be rostered by someone. Rashawn Holmes, 17 and 4 with a block. Good to see him back out there. He's certainly not the Rashawn Holmes he was 4 years ago, but good to see him playing regular minutes and the fact that he can still play regular minutes. He's a hold until Saar is back. Vukcevic had 18 points, 6 rebounds, a steal and a block in his 20 minutes. More of just a stream guy. 20 minutes is not enough for him to have value. I don't think Corey Kispert, 14 points in his 24 minutes. Again, just a 3-point streamer. And Brogdon, 11 points, 5 assists. You'd have to be pretty desperate and need assists only to look at him. Atlanta at Orlando. For Atlanta, we had a lot of questions pre-game about George Niang. I was sort of trying to get people to pump the brakes. I said, sure, take a flyer on him. But we had people out. I think that last game was just a bit of a flash in the pan. And thankfully, I was somewhat right. 8 points, 4 rebounds in 24 minutes. And this is who he is. He's a 20 to 25 minute a night three-point streamer, I think. Yeah, look, I mean, they Muhammad Gay started in this one but only played 15 minutes. I think... Oh, I thought I saw his name on the injury report, but no, maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm just imagining that. So many injuries tonight. He's very interesting, Muhammad Gay. I think if there's ever a situation where he can start and play 26-plus minutes, he's probably going to be worth a look. For now, it's just too inconsistent. He's still in the G League, so he's in and out. Can't really trust that. Reece Achay, this is the issue when he's not scoring the ball prolifically. 11 points in 18 minutes. If you want to hold him, I'm okay with that, but I don't think you need to. Caris LeVert was much better in this one, 18 and 8 with two assists in 32 minutes. They may just go back and forth here a little bit with Gay, with Krejci, with Nance, with Niang, with LeVert, with Terrence Mann. It's looking like a bit of a situation similar to Memphis, similar to Brooklyn. The Warriors, they will just run with whoever's hot, which makes streaming very tricky to do. Now, there were some injuries in this game. Larry Nance left with a knee injury. Vic Krejci left with a back injury. So if those two are out, then I think maybe we can look at LeVert, Gay, if he's playing. He's not going to play every game, but if he's active, I would consider him, I think. Trae Young had 19, 5 and 8, a lot of turnovers, 9 of them, and Dyson Daniels, only 10 points, but 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. This is why he's been so good this year, even when the scoring isn't coming. And I mean, he was efficient here. He only attempted 8 shot attempts or shots. So he shot 5 of 8. Efficiency is fine. Everything else, very fine. For the Magic, Franz, Paolo, very good. Oh, did I even say who won? Atlanta won, 112 to 106. Caldwell Pope, no thank you. Cole Anthony, Anthony Black, both, yeah, I've talked about them. They're sort of stream guys, but they're very inconsistent. Both were actually quite poor in this one. They went with Black over Cole Anthony. You just have to pick one of them and hope on any given night. Goga Badadze, now I've been talking about him as a hold. It's getting pretty hard. 0 points in 17 minutes. The 4 blocks and the 1 steal are very good. But those minutes aren't, then just not climbing as I would have hoped. And it's not like they even went with Wendell Carter here or Jonathan Isaac. Basically all three of them played 16, 17 minutes, and none of them were productive. So bit of a matchup thing. They just went small. They went with a lot of Anthony Black, and then they went with De Silva. So I don't know. It's hard to get a read here on Goga. Of the three, I think he is still the one we want to hold. But if you want to move on from him, I'm probably okay with that. I'm considering moving on from him. Part of the reason is because I have Anthony Davis in so many teams, and I have Mark Williams in a lot of those teams as well. So, yeah, I think I'm okay to move on from him. If you can hold him, I probably would. But, yeah, I think it's a fair call to move on. Minnesota at Cleveland, fairly comfortable. 128-107 for the Cavs. We'll start with the Wolves, though. Anthony Edwards had 44 points. Beyond him, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. Gobert had 12 and 8 with 2 blocks. That's fine, I guess. McDaniels, the 4 steals make this look a lot better. He's still very much a hold. And Naz Reid, who'd been playing, if we're being honest, been playing above himself, or is that the right phrase? Maybe. Anyway, he'd been playing very well. Not as good here, but obviously a hold with Larry Nance, with Julius Randle out. Conley was still out, so Nikhil Alexander-Walker started, didn't do much. Dillingham had 13 points in 23 minutes, but I'm not running to add him. I think Conley is probably close, and If their next game is Wednesday, I'd have to check the schedule. I think there's 15 games on Wednesday, maybe. So streaming is just going to be impossible that night, pretty much. Well, we have got a lot of injuries, but probably really hard anyway. For the Cavs, didn't have to extend themselves too much. Donovan Mitchell was good. Jarrett Allen, I mean, they were all good here. DeAndre Hunter made his debut and did what DeAndre Hunter does, 12 points, three threes, nothing else. 23 minutes. Yeah, look, he's probably a little bit like a Reese Shea or a Klay Thompson, or who else falls into that basket? No, they're three names off the top of my head. If you need points, sure. If you need anything else, don't worry about it. Evan Mobley. I was going to tweet something, actually. I didn't, because in one of my leagues where we redrafted recently, I drafted Evan Mobley, and he's not someone I've ever had in fantasy. So I keep forgetting that I have him on my team. And then when I go and look at the – so when I check the box scores during the day, I look at Donovan Mitchell because I have him in a couple of teams, and I don't even look at Mobley to begin with. And then I go and check my fantasy box scores, and sure enough, there was Evan Mobley with 28 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 blocks, 2 steals. So very happy with that. Sam Merrill had 29 minutes, 3 threes. Ty Jerome, 24 minutes, 15 points. I think both of those guys, well, with Strus out, obviously they do get a nice bump. Even with him back, I think they're going to play a little bit more and will be pretty regular stream candidates. All right, on to the next one. Hornets. The Hornets fall to the Nets in the Battle of the Cellar Dwellers, 97-89. Let's start with Charlotte. Now, Diabate started. He played through his eye injury. 21 and 10, 2 blocks, and then he left the game with an eye injury. So keep an eye out here. Have to hold him. So we did get word, you probably would have seen on Twitter, that this Mark Williams trade saga continues to roll on. I tweeted something about this earlier today. The fact that he is still not with the team was weird to me. And sure enough, Charlotte, let me read it directly. I don't want to misquote Shams. All right, where are you, Shams? Here we go. So the Charlotte Hornets have been in contact with the NBA as they explore options to dispute the Los Angeles Lakers' failed physical assessment of Mark Williams. Sources tell ESPN. The Williams-Dalton Connect trade was nixed? Is that the word? On Saturday. And now Hornets weigh avenues to challenge. So, I mean, this just really complicates things because there's a few different, I guess, perspectives you could take on this situation. You could take the perspective of the Hornets really don't want Mark Williams back. What is he thinking here? Is he just feeling unwanted at the moment with the Lakers obviously failing this physical? The Hornets then going, no, hang on, you took him, just rather than saying, sure, come back, we would love to have you here. Is this Mark Williams instigating this and saying, I really want to go to the Lakers, can you investigate this further? Meanwhile, Dalton Connect's just sitting there getting thrown around. He was on the Lakers bench today. So this could linger on until the All-Star break, which is a real bummer if you've got Mark Williams, as I do in multiple leagues with Anthony Davis. So I think you've just got to hold him. Make sure Musa Diabate is rostered for now. Make sure Jackson Hayes is rostered for now. We'll talk about him later. Nurkic was available tonight but didn't play. Again, is that just while they wait to see what happens with this Mark Williams situation? So that could mean Nurk is just sidelined for the next week, or, well, we don't have a week, but the next three, four nights. So it's very, yeah, it's a very awkward situation, I think. We will see if the Lakers come to the party here and provide more information. But we sit and we wait. Now, Diabate, hopefully this injury isn't going to cost him significant time. He was very good tonight. LaMelo Ball, 5 points, 3 assists, 1 steal in 10 minutes and left the game with an ankle injury. Now, this was his other ankle, not the same one, which doesn't make it any better. Honestly, it's perhaps more concerning. These ankle issues are yeah, there's something. Part of it is probably Charlotte. He could play through at times, but could he? I don't know. Maybe they're that bad. It would be interesting if, I mean, they're not looking at trading him as far as we know, but if they were to trade him and he was to go in for a physical, I wonder what teams would find. Because his ankles, they would have to have some, there'd have to be something there. For me, just the amount of ankle injuries he suffers and soreness and things like that, it's worrying. Hold him, move him to your IL spot. I have him in a lot of leagues as well. It was a rough day for me, I tell you. Miles Bridges was not good, but obviously he will be much better than this. Salu had 16 points. I'm not running to add him unless Diabate is out. Then you could give him a look. KJ Simpson, 9 and 9, 4 assists, a steal. If LaMelo misses time, I think you probably have to go and add him. Nick Smith, make sure he is rostered as well. That was a lot on Charlotte. For Brooklyn, yeah, look, Cam Johnson was fine. This is my concern with him. I think they're just going to play guys 25, 28 minutes. Players will probably won't push beyond 30 very often. Now, someone might be able to put something in the chat here, but was Keon Ellis ruled out tonight? Because I didn't see it. Hang on. Actually, I can probably just look it up, can't I? Keon Johnson. Oh, no, he started. Well, what was I looking at? Oh, I don't know what I'm thinking about. Anyway, sorry, that's completely my bad. He did nothing. Maybe that's why I didn't see his name. 5 points, I would hold him. D'Angelo Russell had 11 and 4 in his 23 minutes. I don't think you need to hold him. I think Claxton, Keon Johnson, Cam Johnson, and probably Dayron Sharp, he's pretty close, are the four that I would be holding. Cam Thomas, if you've got an IR spot available, the rest of them, just grab someone if you have an empty spot. Boston at Miami, Boston 103, Miami 85. Not a lot to talk about, really. We had a good Horford game, 16 and 10 with 2 blocks. No Drew Holiday, no Jaylen Brown. They still got the win pretty comfortably. Peyton Pritchard had 10 rebounds, 8 assists and 2 steals, but he also only had 5 points. But 36 minutes, okay to hold. Very little for the Celtics. There usually isn't very much to talk about. For the Heat, Andrew Wiggins made his debut, 30 minutes, 11, 5 and 5 with a steal and a block. Not the worst debut in the world. Shot the ball poorly, but the other numbers are good. He's obviously going to play a very big role here. Jovic played 27 minutes, 10 and 8. Look, I think he's probably a hold. I think 30 would be better, but 28-ish, I think I'd be more happy with. As expected, Hayward Highsmith was simply out of the rotation. That was what I thought they would do. Is just reduce his role. Duncan Robinson also moving into a pretty reduced role here. Khalil Ware had 8 and 7 with a block. Look, they were against Boston. So when Boston want to turn it on, they do. And Miami, honestly, are not a very good team. They also had no Tyler Hero in this one. So you can sort of rub a lot of this out. I think we don't need to be making any huge moves. For the Pelicans, they continue to change their lineups. Carlo Matkovic started in this one, 8 and 9 with 3 blocks, 32 minutes. That's someone that needs to be rostered. But in the last game, he came off the bench and played 15 minutes. So this could just be a very complicated and confusing situation. He was also a minus 39 in his 32 minutes in a game that they did lose by 36, to be fair. But they shouldn't care. They're down the bottom, so whatever. I would just roll Matkovic out there. So if you want to hold him, you probably could. Zion had 17 and 5. Eve Misi, 11 and 8. I think all three are probably holds. Trey Murphy, obviously a hold. Not his best night, but 23, 7 and 5 with a steal in a almost 40-point drubbing is still a good night. Alvarado started. A lot of people streamed him in, picked him up. He had 23 minutes, 9 points. 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 rebounds. I've talked about not being super high on him. Assists and steals, that's really all. Jordan Hawkins had 2 threes, 12 points. There's, again, I don't think there's going to be a lot of rhyme or reason here when it comes to the Pelicans' rotation. So Zion, Misi, Murphy, CJ, who will come back in, are probably our must-roster players. Matkovic, pretty close. For the Thunder, very, very comfortable win, so we don't really need to talk about anything. I mean, Wiggins continues to play really well, so hold him while he's playing, while he's hot. Caruso had 12 points, 2 steals in his 18 minutes. Hartenstein, 6 and 13, but 22 minutes. Even a quiet night for Shea by his standards. Jalen Williams had 16, 5 and 5 with 2 steals. So very, very comfortable. 5 blocks, 12 points for Chet. Good to see him out there putting up numbers. On to the next one. The Warriors get the win over the Bucks. Jimmy Butler had 29 and 6, 4 steals. He looks good. I expect him to be managed a little bit at some point, but at the moment he's rolling. I would probably consider selling high if we get another good game. You can convince someone that he's back. Steph Curry also looked very good in this one. Draymond Green, look, the 5 steals and a block. This is why you roster him. Rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. He doesn't score. Buddy Hield had 2 threes. Pajemski would still be my preferred target of the benchy, fringy guys. 32 minutes, only 9 and 9 with 3 assists and 2 steals, but those minutes are very encouraging. Moody, who I've talked about, I would like to see him at the top of this list. He was pretty good, 13 and 3 with 3 steals and a block. Just the minutes to me aren't guaranteed, so I'd still rather Pajemski, but I would keep an eye on Moody. For the Bucks, no Giannis again, so Lillard had to do it all. Bobby Portis remained on the bench, 7 and 7. He's a hold, but if he's not starting and playing 34 minutes when Giannis is out, he's going to be very up and down. Kyle Kuzma had 21 and 6 as a starter in 34 minutes. That's fine. Prince, I'm not rushing to add him despite 19 points and 8 rebounds. Just look at his game log and you will know why. And Gary Trent, who had 21 the night before, 23, 21, he had 7 points. We don't need to hold him. All right, Sacramento at Dallas. Kings get the win in overtime, 129-128. Let's start with Keon Ellis. The minutes are good, 32. He only had 8 points with 6 rebounds, 0 steals, 1 block, and he was a minus 13. So it's not always good for Keon Ellis. He is obviously a good player, but, he isn't the saviour. A lot of people sort of talk about him being this messiah that needs to be playing all these minutes. He is a good player, but he is not LeBron James. If he's playing 30 minutes, he's a hold. So we didn't get the steals in this one, but we will. So I think you can – that's 2 strong minute gains in a row, so I'd probably hold him. Starting 5, roster them all. Keegan Murray, again, I continue to be a little bit worried about him, 11 points. He had 2 steals and a block. The minutes are there. His floor is probably just safe enough for him to be rostered. Valanciunas had 13 and 8 in his 18 minutes. That's close. I don't think he's going to play this many minutes every night, though. So to me, he's not someone we need to be prioritizing. All right, for Dallas. Let's start with Dan Gafford. So 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists in his 10 minutes, and then he left the game with a knee sprain. Now, this was a contact injury with Malik Monk, sort of on a screen, and Monk was pushing off. It was a little bit awkward, but nothing malicious in it at all. But Gafford went straight down holding his knee. It looked to hyperextend. I would say I'd expect missed games here for Gafford, but despite the number of trips he has to the locker room and the ankles, he tends to play through things. So I wouldn't be surprised if Gafford is available in the next game. I also wouldn't be surprised if he misses a month with a grade two knee sprain. So just keep an eye on it. I wouldn't drop him just yet. He has a funny way of playing through injuries. Maybe this is the, not the nail in the coffin, so to speak, but the final straw, because he is pretty banged up. If he is out, God knows. They're going to have to play a lot of small ball if he is out. Prosper is probably the beneficiary, but honestly, he's not great. Max Christie would have to play more. PJ Washington is just going to have to play more at the center when he is back. He was out as well tonight. Look, the fact they were able to push Sacramento to overtime is not a great reflection on Sacramento, to be honest. Klay Thompson had 19 points. Again, he's in that points and threes stream discussion. Irving, very good. Exum, only 19 minutes here. Yeah, he's not playing enough to be rostered outside of deeper leagues. Christie had 35 minutes, 15 points, 2 steals, 1 block. He has to be rostered, even more so now if Gafford is going to miss time. Najee Marshall had 9, 6, and 5 in his 27 minutes. I think he's probably worth rostering. He is someone they can at least throw in as a small ball center. Dinwiddie, 20 points. This was a good game for him. Probably gets a bump as well if Gafford's out, because they're just going to have to run these guards out of position. So do keep an eye on that injury report. Speaking of injuries, Portland at Denver for the Blazers. So we had Jeremy Grant out. Here we go. March has come early. So he was out. So we got Scoot Henderson into the starting lineup. And then he left with an ankle injury. 6 points, 3 assists. It didn't look too bad. It was a definite roll, but it didn't look like one that's going to cost him weeks. I would think there's a chance he's back after the All-Star break on this one. If he misses time at all, maybe he's okay. He's young. But, yeah, I would expect post-All-Star break for him. Timani Kamara, not his best night, 6 points, but he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. So he does those other things. DeAndre Ayton, talked about him pregame. What version of him were we going to get? Well, we didn't really see. I mean, he had 0 rebounds in 19 minutes. That's impressive for a 7-footer. 10 points, a block, and a non-contact calf injury. So, look, I mean, I talk about Ayton all the time and the fact that he's missing games and fake injuries. This wasn't a fake injury. So this is something that's probably going to cost him time. It's hopefully not an Achilles. He reached higher up the leg. It was similar to, who was it that did their Achilles? Someone did their Achilles. Oh, DeJounte Murray. It was somewhat similar, but yeah, it looked more like a calf. Didn't look like an Achilles. He didn't react like an Achilles, but he certainly went for his calf. And that's what they're calling it, I believe, a calf. Let me just double check that. DeAndre Ayton will not return. Calf, yes. So, yeah, I mean, a calf injury can be 2 weeks. It can be 2 months. We saw Karl Anthony Towns a couple of years ago missed about 2 or 3 months because of maybe 3 because of a calf injury. So, hypothetically, this could be DeAndre Ayton's season done if this is a pretty significant calf tear. Or he could be back after the All-Star. Well, it's Portland. Maybe not, but not long after the All-Star break. Go and add Donovan Clingan if he's available. 21 points, 7 rebounds, a block in 21 minutes. He will be up and down. He's a rookie. But this would, I mean, no one wants an injury, but this is a perfect opportunity for them to move him in as the starting center. Play him 26 minutes. Play Rob Williams off the bench. Play him 20 minutes, and let's see what these two guys can do. Banton had 22 points. We know he's a silly season special, so just wait for the opportunity when he's going to play 30 minutes a night and throw him into your roster. Shaedon Sharpe, only 11 points in his 20 minutes. He too will step into a larger role, I feel like, at some point, especially if Scoot is out here and Jeremy Grant misses more time, Ayton misses more time, then we might be at, it might be Banton o'clock already. Let us see. And for the Nuggets, it was a comfortable win, 146 to 117, so they did not need to extend themselves. So Nikola Jokic certainly made the most of the time he had on the court. 40 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 2 threes, perfect from the line, and what's that, like 70% from the field on 22 shot attempts? Very good. Christian Brown, 26 points on 12 of 14 shooting with a block, continues to play very well. There will be a big dip coming for him, but just hold him. Strouther, I've talked about him as someone we probably want to hold until Westbrook is back. He had 18, 4, and 3 with a steal. And Jalen Pickett had 14 and 9 with 2 steals. Now, Jamal Murray was ejected in this game, so that probably opened up a few extra minutes for Pickett. But Coach Mike Malone did say that Pickett is going to be in the rotation until Westbrook is back, which is good. I like Pickett. It'll be good to see him out there trotting around on an NBA court. All right, Utah, the Lakers' final game of the night. The Lakers get it done fairly comfortably, 132 to 113 for the Jazz. It wasn't their best night. Walker Kessler had a double-double with a block. Not great, not terrible. Markkanen, 17 points on 8 of 18 shooting, did nothing else. John Collins, 17 and 11. These guys, we know exactly who these guys are when they play. Make sure Collier, I don't know why he would have been dropped, 13 and 10. Jordan Clarkson had 16 and 4. He's probably going to miss a game soon. Keontae George, 11 and 8 off the bench. Pretty poor from him, actually, tonight. He didn't look great to me. I watched most of the second half in that one. And we just keep waiting for Bryce Sensabaugh, Kyle Filipowski, Johnny Juzang, these guys to step into larger roles, but we are not there yet. And for the Lakers, Luka Doncic made his debut, 24 minutes to be expected, 11, 5, and 4. Poor shooting, but look, all positives here, really, other than the production. The fact he played, he looked good, chemistry was good, team looked good. It's going to be interesting. I mean, we've talked about them needing a center. Jackson Hayes is not your center. And credit to Jackson Hayes, he's played well as the fill-in starting center. But I don't know, watching them play, they're positioned well. They're 32 and 19 now, I think. So they're positioned very well heading into the All-Star break. I'm wondering whether they, I mean, JJ Redick is, I think, probably a coach that thinks outside the box a little bit. And they could just go very small here and run Jared Vanderbilt, Dorian Finney-Smith. They are going to be super hard to guard if they run those lineups. So if they can stay competitive enough in games, maybe they are just going to try and make this work with what they've got. LeBron obviously can play a little bit of small ball center, as can Rui Hachimura. So they have a lot of flexibility there. And with Austin Reeves, Luka, LeBron James, all as ball handlers, all as shooters, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm very intrigued to watch what direction they go in here. LeBron was good. He did suffer an abdominal injury. It looked like a contact kind of injury, and he returned to the bench. So I think he'll be okay. Potentially he sits out. If they have one more game, maybe he sits out that. Hachimura had 21 points. Look, this is against Utah. He is probably another guy, honestly, in that Klay Thompson, Risa Shea, DeAndre Hunter discussion as 15 points, 2 or 3 threes, and that's it. Jared Vanderbilt, the day after I streamed him in for some rebounds and steals, he had 2 rebounds and 0 steals in 17 minutes. I'll probably hold him. I think he's going to be a somewhat key piece for this team in specific matchups. They just didn't need him tonight, so I'm probably going to hold him. Jordan Goodwin has looked good, but again, Utah probably not running to add him. I'd certainly argue that he's better than Gabe Vincent, Shake Milton, those guys. Austin Reeves, I just want to talk about. So he had 22 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And I know we talk about the fact that he is going to be the loser here. Still clearly a must-roster player, but where is he going to end up in terms of ranking and value and that sort of thing? Is he a sneaky winner? Well, not a winner. I don't think there's any way he's a winner, but maybe not as much of a loser as we first thought, because Luka, LeBron, they obviously demand a lot of attention from defenses. Does this just free Austin Reeves up to float around and do his thing? I think the numbers come down, the assists come down, points probably come down slightly, but could efficiency go up? Could his steals stabilize at sort of 1.3? I'm curious to see what the Lakers do here. I'm obviously not a Lakers fan, but it is going to be, very, very intriguing, I think, moving forward to see what direction they go in here. All right, let's get to some questions, shall we? Start with Shining Knight. Considering dropping Goga for Buzelis, I think you're okay. Like I said, Goga's, yeah. I think you're okay. I think you're okay to do that. Kamara also available. I think I'd go Buzelis. He has more upside. Are we adding Klingon or Carlo? Question from Ricardo Lorenz. I might go Klingon just with the injury to DeAndre Ayton. Sohan or Vassell? Probably go Vassell. Just he's playing 30 minutes. Let's go Vassell. Who is the drop for Klingon? Jose Nembhard Hayes, not Hayes. Did I even say what Hayes had tonight? He had 12 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 1 block in 23 minutes. So he only needs 23 minutes, but 22 plus to have value, I think. So not Hayes. It might be Jose. I mean, I don't even like Nembhard that much, but he at least plays consistent minutes. Continuation. So would I keep all three and not pick up Middleton? I'm not sold Middleton, I don't think he's going to play a lot. I don't think he's going to play all games. Per game, obviously, yes, you would go with Middleton. Playing on Washington, I'd probably be okay dropping Jose and getting Middleton here. Shining Knight says, if Gay gets 30 minutes here, I'm adding him. Yep, I think we will. He's very interesting. If Gafford misses time, is Maxson's Prosper an add? Maybe. I think they'll just go very small. I think PJ will play a lot of center. He has played center before. If we think back to when he was in Charlotte, he played a lot of center there. So Maxson's Prosper, deeper leagues, I don't think they're going to roll him out there for 30 minutes or anything, though. LaMelo reminds me of early Curry with his ankle issues. Yeah. And, yes, we don't have a lot of faith in their medical staff. I've got to have some of the other Aussie fantasy analysts over Lord of the Rings Trivial Pursuit. I think Josh Lloyd would be competitive. I wonder if he would, actually. I have no idea if any of them are Lord of the Rings fans. I'm not sure. I'd have to ask him. I think I'll be on a mailbag with him this week. I'll throw in a question of my own into the chat and say, are you a Lord of the Rings fan? Is Ware still a hold in a 12-team league? Yes, I believe he is. Podziemski or Jovic from Yardship? It's pretty close. Let's go Podziemski. Alvarado or Keyshawn George? Keyshawn, I think. Nerdy Nerd. Are we keeping Veet in a 12-team? I don't think you have to keep him, but I think you can. D'Lo or Nick Smith Jr. from Daniel Paisley? I think I would go Nick Smith Jr. He's just playing more minutes. D'Lo's, what was he tonight, 23 or something, and I don't think he cares. Are we dropping Io or Assar for Klingon? Well, very different stats. Do you need blocks and rebounds? If so, probably Assar, I think. Here we go. Buzelis, Klingon, Kamara, or Ol Goga? I'd probably go with Buzelis or Klingon, I think. I mean, they're similar in a way. Buzelis does a little bit more and doesn't have the upside, I don't think, of Klingon in terms of blocks and rebounds. But Buzelis can score a bit more, typically. So I'd go Buzelis or Klingon there, I think. And it's if you want a guy that can space the floor a little bit and do some has a bit more of a versatile offensive game, I'd probably go Buzelis. Is Matkovic a hold? He's hard. It's really hard, this Pelicans roster rotation. I'm going to hold him and at least for another game or two and just see what they do. Moody over Hield or Niang? I'd have him over Niang, yep. How do I order these players in a 12-team 9-cap? Draymond, Max Christie, Asar, Kamara. They're all pretty similar too. I mean, Max Christie doesn't have the defensive upside. So if you don't need defense, I might have Christie at the top with all the injuries in Dallas. If you need defense, they're all pretty good. I mean, Asar's probably the lowest just because the minutes are ranging from sort of 22 to 26. Kamara is 30 plus a night. Draymond is 28 to 30, depending on the result. But probably has the highest risk of missed games. I don't know. You can make a case for any of them. Let's go. I just don't like Draymond. I don't know if I can put him first. He has zero offensive upside. Let's go Kamara, Christie, Asar, Draymond. Do we have trust in Scoot? You still have guys like Collier, Pajemski, Nick Smith available, thinking it's a stream as well. I think you could. I mean, if he's injured, I think you could argue that I'd have Collier over Scoot anyway. Scoot probably has a little bit more offensive versatility, but Collier's look really good, and his assists are phenomenal. I don't know what he's averaging over the last 2-3 weeks, but it's got to be 8 assists. Nick Smith has looked good. He's a little bit inconsistent, but he's looked pretty good, and Pajemski's played big minutes. So I'm okay, I think, with if they're the kind of guys you can get off the waivers, then I'd be okay with that. Nerdy Nerd, should I drop KJ Simpson or Nick Smith for Klingon? Do I expect more production going forward? I do, if Ayton misses time. Again, I think he will, but we don't know for sure. Who would I drop there? Well, it's probably... Yeah, is LaMelo... I mean, we're assuming LaMelo misses time here, aren't we? I'd probably... If you've got KJ Simpson and Nick Smith, I would say if you need assists, I'd keep Simpson. If you need points, I'd keep Smith, and I'd be okay dropping the other one to add Klingon. Admiral Nida, Saar or Klingon? Ooh. Well, Klingon's playing. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think Saar's probably safer. Just well, when he plays, I think his role is very locked in at 30 minutes. Klingon, we're assuming that Ayton misses time, so I'd probably still go Saar. Just. Do I think Klingon's hype is a little reactive right now? Looks like a range between Nick Richards, Walker, Kessler. Not sure how to read his projection with the lack of minutes. I mean, people are going to get hyped because he had 21 and 8 today, and I think he was perfect from the field almost. So people are going to get hyped after this performance. So, yes, I think it probably is a little bit reactive. He's better than Nick Richards, I can tell you that. But, yes, not as good as Walker Kessler. So that would put him top 80. The minutes, you look, even if he starts, I don't think he's going to play 30, where Walker Kessler has been playing 30, 32, 34. Nick Richards, much the same. He only plays 22, 23 a night. So that's, yeah, I would, that's a fair sort of comparison, I guess, if we're looking at both ends of the scale. I would have him in between there pretty comfortably. Cookie Monster, should I about Monk and Levine? Is top 30 not possible for either? So worry about them? No, I think they'll be fine. Yeah, I think they're okay. I mean, Monk didn't have a good game today and he still put up numbers. Yeah, so I think they're top 30, top 40. I think they'll be okay. We did that. Yeah, we did that. Do I think Mark Williams goes back to the Lakers? I have no idea. We spent a bit of time on this early in the show. I don't know. I'm assuming this is going to stretch out to the All-Star break now and then hopefully we get some sort of resolution between now and next Thursday, whenever games start. But it's not it's a very awkward situation at the moment. What do I think of Goodwin from the Lakers as a stream? Look, it was a bit of garbage time. He has looked quite good, and I do think he's better than Vincent and those guys. But, stream, fine, but I don't think it's anything we need to pay too much attention to. Should I drop Hayes and add Klingon? Yeah, I'd be okay with that. Yeah. Because Hayes, I mean, in your league, he's not this breakout top 40 player or top 50 player or anything. So, I'd be okay with that. 50-50 shot that Williams goes to LA. Yeah, I guess so at this point. I would think maybe I wouldn't go 50-50. Maybe I'll stay 70-30 Charlotte. I think it's more likely he stays in Charlotte because the Lakers... Well, you would hope that they did their due diligence here and they can just come back and say, whether it's public or not, they can hand reports to Charlotte and say, this is what we found, this is our concern, this is why it's our concern. This is not done by old Dr. Nick from down the street or Joe Blow from under the bridge. Like, this is a medical staff and the Lakers, who are a very professional, thorough organization, hopefully... Actually, as I said, did all of this properly and above board, and they have evidence that they can hand them. Do I think Grimes is a 12-team rosterable player? Look, he might be. He's borderline. I don't think he's as good as Christie in Dallas, but I'd be okay dropping George Niang to get him. Goga, yeah, maybe. Very different. Like Goga, you're obviously holding him for blocks and rebounds. All right. I'm going to get out of here. I've got things to do. So I will be back tomorrow probably with a pregame show. Dan and I will be recording our mailbag show tomorrow morning. He'll release it later. It won't be a live show. So if you have any questions, as I said this morning, go and find the tweet from Dan. Don't have to be basketball questions. Ask questions about anything. I will be heading to Los Angeles in July to spend a couple of days with Dan. Well, I'm not staying with him, but we'll be doing some things together, going to a Dodgers game, that sort of thing. So ask him an LA question because I'm going to have plenty of them. What else can we do? Or anything. Yeah, if you've never been there, ask him a question about Los Angeles. All right, I'll get out of here. You get out of here. Go and download and find us and do all of that stuff. We'll be back tomorrow as well. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.